This is a CBC podcast. She is one of the finest interviewers in broadcasting. She gets authors to share the rawness of their artistic process and their lives.
What I really are afraid of is people being angry at me or do think that I'm an idiot or something. So I'm very concerned about other people's opinion, which means that I always restricted myself.
Culture, literature, life. Eleanor Wachtel touches it all at cbc.ca/writersandcompany.
A 13-year-old boy pleaded guilty this week to trafficking prescription painkillers at his Lunenburg County school. You aren't alone if you were shocked to hear that news, but it may not be as surprising as you would think. Jennifer is the mother of a 17-year-old girl who got hooked on painkillers several years ago. She has asked that we not use her last name, but she wants to share her story and her frustrations trying to get help. And a word of warning, this is a disturbing story.
Morning, Jen.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine, thanks. When did you first find out that your daughter was using prescription drugs?
I believe she was around 13 years old.
How did you find out?
She was at a friend's birthday party, and her purse fell on the floor and opened up, and I looked inside, and there were pills and weed. And
some parents listening to this say that's happened to them, but when did you realize this wasn't, and I use the term ill-advisedly, maybe recreational, occasional, that this was a real problem?
When she dropped out of school and went to live at the Occupy movement.
How old was she then?
15.
And what was she doing at that stage of the game?
She was doing, her drug of choice is dexedrine. They call them dexies. She's done Dilaudid, OxyContin, clonazepam, which is an epilepsy drug. She's done it all.
Where would she get those drugs, starting when she was 13, 14, 15 years old?
She was buying them from other kids at school for $1. $1 a piece. She said, "Mommy, I can get 3 for $5. Kids were taking them from their parents' medicine cabinets.
She has mental health issues.
She does. She is ADHD. She has oppositional defiance disorder and compulsive disorder. And she uses those drugs to what she calls self-medicate herself.
How early on do you say, look, we've got an issue here and we've got to talk about this?
Right at the very beginning. I spoke with her right at the very beginning. I had family members speak with her. I had the principal at school speak with her, the guidance counselors, the liaison officer for her school. I had everybody talk to her. But she just doesn't care. She says it's her life and she has the right to live it how she chooses.
So you have no luck with that avenue. Then you say, okay, now I've got to worry about, now I've got to find a way to sort of get her treated.
Right.
As opposed to get her back in school. It's a whole other level. Where do you start there?
I went to the Department of Community Services. I explained what was going on over the phone. They did an intake. Workers showed up approximately 50-some days later, I opened the door and she said, "I'm just letting you know, I'm not here for my daughter that was addicted to drugs. She was there for my smaller daughter to make sure that she was okay." She spoke briefly with my daughter. My daughter told her off. She left. That was that.
She drops out of school. You get her back into high school, right?
When she went to her father's, yes. Yeah. She went to high school.
Briefly in grade 10.
Very briefly. Grade 10 twice.
And out.
And out.
So where's she living then? She's not living with you?
This child will stay with someone for weeks on end that she's met 5 minutes earlier. She stays with that 48-year-old man. She claims, he claims, they're best friends. He's taken her to Toronto, to Montreal. They're all over the place.
In the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. How often do you act? How have you seen her?
Have I seen her? In court, almost every Thursday I've attended, but she doesn't speak to me.
What court is she at?
Provincial court for theft over $5,000. And she was in federal court on a possession of drugs and drug trafficking, but those charges were dropped.
When you see her, Mm-hmm. Does she want to talk to you at all? Can you talk to her? No.
No. No.
You took a very dramatic step at one point. You brought in the paperwork. Mm-hmm. In the Supreme Court of Nova Scotia Family Division's application for an order to locate and detain. Mm-hmm. Essentially, you were willing to step away as her official guardian, as her mother. Mm-hmm. Explain what you thought might happen there.
I went to court, filed an affidavit. I went before a judge the very same day. I was given an order to locate and detain the child. She was to be picked up, it says in the order, and taken to the Department of Community Services in Sackville. And they were going to put her in a rehab facility. They called right in front of me to make sure there was a bed available for her. I was asked to pack a suitcase to her, and I was told that once she was picked up, she would go to a rehab facility and I would not be able to see her. But that's not what happened.
What happened? Or what didn't happen?
What didn't happen was she was picked up the following night at 12:30 at night. The Sackville office was not open, and there was no one on call there. She was taken to the Dartmouth office at 12:30 at night. She was picked up on Spring Garden Road. It was a police brawl is what it was, or several cop cars. And there were some of her homeless friends fighting with police. They didn't want her to go. She was taken to Dartmouth. I was called there. The social worker was, there's no other way to put it, but irate that she was woken up and called in to deal with this. And I thought she was going to rehab. She said, your options are, she goes home with you. I can't take her home. It's not an option. She went to her father's, or she was to be placed in the Ray Allen Center, which was across the street. The Ray Allen Center is a facility that you're free to walk out of. So once she was released from police custody there, she was free to walk out, get on a bus, go back to Spring Garden Road where this started. And I walked out of there, and my best friend looked at me, and I looked at her, and she said, what just happened? What just happened? This isn't what was supposed to happen.
After a certain age, I think 16?
Yes.
Almost all rehab is voluntary, isn't it?
It is. And even under the age of 16, without the Department of Community Services or a court order, through criminal court placing her there, it's voluntary, even under the age of 16 years old. I, as a parent, couldn't just go and place her in a rehab facility.
How old is she right now?
She's 17 years old.
What options are left for you? I mean, judging by your paperwork, it seems like you've tried almost every avenue.
I have. And the Department of Community Services told me, just because she's 16 doesn't mean we can't step in. And they still can. Their mandate is to 18.
Is that what you want? Is the ball in community services court, as far as you're concerned?
It's always been in their court. It's always been in their court, and they dropped the ball. They dropped the ball on this child.
Does this order still apply? Order to locate and detain?
No. I would have to go back and get another one the following day if she ran, then another one the following day, over and over. It's only used one time. Once she's picked up, that's no good.
You've gone, like, personally to the mayor, then Peter Kelly. I mean, you've mm-hmm. knocked on just about every door in this province, it seems to me.
I have. Most of the times, nobody even returned my phone call. When I tried Peter Kelly's office, I told the lady my story. She said, I'll have someone call you. Nobody called. I've called Daryl Dexter's office. I've called the Minister of Community Services.
What do you want?
I want my daughter back.
But between here and there.
She needs a rehab facility, because you don't just quit drugs. A child can't quit drugs on their own.
But how do you get her there? I mean, if she doesn't want to go and you can't seem to move community services to do what you think they have to do, what are the options?
My only options are to wait for her to make it through it. And I don't know that she's going to make it through it.
When was the last time you spoke to anybody at community services?
Last March, 2012. They sent a letter stating that they were closing her file, that she was almost 16 years old, and the file was closed.
Not their business anymore?
Not their business anymore. And they said to me, you know, take her to an out-of-province facility. And they even called and gave me the names and phone numbers of these out-of-province facilities, but how do I get her to an out-of-province facility? I can't take her on a plane. She doesn't want to go. I can't force her.
Well, thank you very much for sharing the story. It was every parent's nightmare, I'm sure. It's good of you to come and tell us about this.
Thank you. No, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jennifer's teenage daughter is addicted to prescription painkillers, and we hope to have more on this story on Tuesday's Information Morning.
Looking for more CBC podcasts? Go to cbc.ca/podcasting.